Inside of the snowflake, like the one on your sleeve, there happened a story you must see to believe. Way up in the mountains, high in the range of the pontoons, lay a small town of Whoville, the home of the Whos. Ask any Who and they'll have this to say. There's no place like Whoville around Christmas Day. Every window was flocked, every lamppost was dressed, and the Whoville band marched in their Christmassy best. Every Who down in Whoville loved Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. This is the opening to one of the greatest Christmas movies of all times. It's the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. And I love this story because there's something that's kind of fun, and even if it's, it has these odd moments where you see him being mischievous and just a little bit evil, but there's something so relatable about Jim Carrey's character. And I just love this story. And you know, the Grinch didn't like Christmas, and maybe you're asking why. But don't ask why, no one quite knows. It could have been that his head wasn't screwed on just right, or perhaps his shoes were just a little too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may be that his heart was two sizes too small. This is a story as old as time. It's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the story of the Grinch, and it's the story of me or anyone who has ever worked in a mall or retail during holiday season. You just sometimes get burnt out, and we get a little cold and a little calloused. And it's sometimes hard to really get into that Christmassy spirit. But I believe that God wants to say something to us. And so maybe if that's you this morning, maybe if this year has been heavy and has been hard, and you're finding yourself struggling this Christmas season, I believe that God wants to say something to us this morning. And this morning, I believe that there's someone else who has had that same story of the Grinch. And it's someone who, that very first Christmas 2,000 years ago, didn't enter into the Christmas story. And that's the story of King Herod. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 8. As we read along and as we dig in to King Herod and to his struggle in that first Christmas season. So if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Then Herod said to the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report back to me so that I may go and worship him too." But we know that this wasn't truly the situation, and this wasn't his intentions. He had a far more sinister plan at play. And so the magi continue on, and they go and they find Jesus, and they give him the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and they worship him, and they rejoice with him, and they celebrate. They enter into the Christmas story. But before they can leave, they are warned in a dream to go home a different way, and so they never return to Herod. And so we pick up the story in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. You see, Herod suffered from having a heart that was two sizes too small. You know, There can be a lot of reasons for why we sometimes suffer from a heart that is two sizes too small. But this morning, I want to dig into this story, and I want to look at a couple of things because I think it's important for us this Christmas season if we may be struggling. The first one is this, that Herod focused on the wrong things. He was concerned about power. In verse 2, we read, He says, where is the one who is born king of the Jews? That's what the Magi is asking Herod. And for Herod, this was alarming because that was his title. The baby was a direct threat to Herod, to his position, to his throne, to his authority. And in verse 2, it goes on to say, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all of Jerusalem with him. Why would Jerusalem be disturbed? Why were they concerned? Because a power-hungry, insecure king can have drastic consequences. And it did. It did. Could you imagine being so insecure that you are threatened by a baby? And Herod was so insecure that he slaughtered all of the baby boys born around that time. But Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, were warned in a dream and they had fled to Egypt. And God saved them. But Herod was so consumed by power, by authority, that he was focused on the wrong things that he couldn't enter into the Christmas story. His heart was too small. The second reason for a small heart is shame and hurts. In verse 16, it says this, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. You see, he was caught up. He was embarrassed that they saw his true motives. They disobeyed his orders. He felt shame. He felt small. He felt insecure. And it just drudged up all of the hurts in his own heart. You know, in Jen's family, her parents, Jim and Julie, used to always say, hurt people hurt people. And I'll never forget that. Hurt people hurt people. That it comes out like when we are insecure, when we feel shamed, when we feel hurt, we lash out to those who are around us. And this is exactly what Herod did. Sometimes it's a lack of emotional intelligence and we don't know what to do with what's going on inside of us. And I know that this has been true for me at times in my life as well. You know, one of the lies that I used to believe is that I could simply suppress my emotions. And that's not really true. I tried to hide my pain, but it only hid my joy and damaged my heart, and it made me feel small. And it caused my heart to be small, and that's not what God would have for me or for you. But that's what happens when our lack of emotional intelligence allows it to have spiritual implications, and that's what happened to King Herod in this story. And so we've seen two keys to this story so far is when we focus on the wrong thing, when we focus on power, or when our hurts or our shame allow our hearts to be small. But there's something more basic, more true that gives us a small heart. And that's just the simplest thing of selfishness. When we allow our story, we so get caught up in our own story that we can't enter into anyone else's story. We can call this narcissism. We can call it a variety of different things. But when we're so caught up in what's going on here, we put on blinders and we can't enter into the joy of the season. We can't enter into somebody else's story. We're just so caught up in me. You know, there are two different types of narcissism. The first one is the one that we often think about. It's the person who's so prideful, so arrogant. They're on Instagram, their life is perfect, and they're just kind of consumed in themselves. That's the first type of narcissism. That's the one that the ego that we often think about. But there's another type of narcissism too, where the pain, the hurts, the shame get in the way. And we're so hurt that we project out an image of what we so hope to be true. And we believe that if we can just fake it until we make it, and we just begin to believe and we fake it so much that we live into this false self, this mask that we wear. And then we begin to have hurts, habits, hangups, addictions, and we just begin to live in this false self and we begin to love that thing that we wish were true. But it really comes from a place of insecurity. These are the two forms of narcissism that just lead into a form of what we call selfishness. And in the midst of this Christmas season, I don't know which one that you're struggling with, but all of these, they make our hearts two sizes too small. It's the story of the Grinch. It's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the story of Herod, but it's my story too. You see, before I was a Christian, I was caught up in just living for me. And that it doesn't mean that I was always selfish. No, sometimes I was really kind and nice, but it was only ever to a point. Because inside I was so caught up in weighing the cost-benefit analysis of, is this going to benefit me in the long run? Are people taking notice? Like, I hope they notice all of these good things of how I'm trying to help, and we just hope that somebody pats us on the back. But you see, inside I was just so caught up. I was like a hamster on a wheel. And there was stress, there was anxiety, I couldn't truly just be present for somebody else because of all of that. I was just wrapped up in myself. Mostly, I just felt like life was unfair. I felt like I had been dealt a hard hand. And that hamster wheel, I was just so caught up in my own world, and my hurts, and my frustrations, and me, that I couldn't be there for anyone else. Church, this is my story, and I think it's sometimes our story. And I believe that God would want to say to us, be careful that we don't get so wrapped up in our own hurts that we have received, that we don't notice the hurts that we inflict. Let me say that again. Be careful that we don't get so wrapped up in the hurts that we receive that we don't notice the hurts that we inflict. That's the story of living from a heart that is two sizes too small. So if like me, if you are like Scrooge, if you're like the Grinch, if you're like Herod, you're going, but what do I do with this? Is there hope? Where do I go from here? There is hope. There is great hope. You know, our hearts can be transformed. Or to put it another way, our hearts can grow. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the beautiful story. You see, Jesus was born in a manger that first Christmas all those years ago. And it was the beginning of a world turned upside down. A love story so great that it just does not make sense to our world. In our world's way of thinking. But if we truly believe this story that Christ died for us, it has the power to transform us, to heal us, to set us free from the things that destroy us, what we Christians call sin. It sets us free from that hamster wheel of anxiety that just continues to make our heart and our world small. And it allows us to live into a bigger, more beautiful story. It's a thing that we call grace. For Christians, Christmas is the coming of Christ who points us to a message of hope and of changed lives. And that is the message that we proclaim. Here at Solid Ground, our vision is being changed by Christ so that we could live like Christ. What does all of that mean? It just simply means that we believe in changed lives, that we can be set free, that I don't have to live in that hamster wheel anymore. I don't have to live in that heart that is two sizes too small and caught up in my own hurts. That Christ has come to set me free. And that message is found in Romans 10, 9, and 13. Let me share that with you. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, and for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. This radical call to follow Jesus changes everything. I still remember those first days of when I became a Christian. I still remember what it was like to be set free from that hamster wheel. I felt alive. I felt free. And it was just a whole new way of living. I felt my heart grow. And it was just absolutely amazing because I wasn't so wrapped up in my own story. I could now be there for other people. I knew grace and I could extend it to others. And that's what God did for me. Maybe one of the best ways I can tell this is with another story. You know, there was a story of two women who are walking on a beach. And there was an older woman and a younger woman. And the younger woman was just sharing. She was a newlywed and she had young children at home. And she was so consumed with the anxiety of trying to make all of these things perfect. And she was sharing with this older mentor and she was just asking for help. And she said, how do I make sure that my husband is faithful to me? How do I make sure that my kids grow up to be Christians? How do I make sure that life is perfect and it lives up to Instagram and all of these things? And she was just, you could just feel the anxiety in her voice. And the older woman just listened. She was there with her. She shared with her and she just listened. And when she was done, she reached down and she picked up a handful of sand. And she said, you know, so often life is like this handful of sand. Sometimes the harder we hold it and we try to control life, the more it just simply slips through our fingers. And then she invited the younger woman. She said, hold out your hands. And then she scooped up some sand and she dumped it into her hands. And then she picked up some more sand and she kept filling her hands as she just held them palms up and open. And she said, life is like this, that when we truly lift our hands open and we let go of control, God is able to pour more and more into our lives. And we're not able to, we have to let go of control and let God, but our life begins to expand. So is it true with our heart as well. The more we try, like Herod, to white-knuckle it through life, the more we try to hold on to things and control the hurts and that hamster wheel and power and selfishness and all that, life just begins to slip through our fingers and our heart gets small. And so it is that life can be fleeting, but God wants something so much bigger for us than selfish living. God wants something so much bigger for me and for you. This Christmas, I invite you to open your hearts and open your hands and to receive the free gift of grace that God offers this Christmas. That you would open your hands and to release the hurt. Yes, we need to grieve those things, those losses, those things that are heavy. Yes, we need to open our hands and let God grow your heart. It's time to stop living for ourselves, being caught up in our own story, that hamster wheel of anxiety, and allow God to move in us towards a greater story, where my story gets to be blended with God's story into something more beautiful this Christmas. I don't know about you, but 2020 has been a heavy year. It's been full of a lot of different things, and there's a lot of hurts that we could hold on to. Coronavirus is still here. It's still impacting us. I know that my family is not going to be able to get together the way that I would want it to, and that's heavy, and I have to grieve that. But if I try to white-knuckle it, it's not going to work. So I invite us to just begin to open our hearts. And I don't know what it is that you're facing. I don't know what the sickness or the hurts, the pain of your life that begins to put blinders on your life that you just can't begin to live into a bigger story. And God wants to take those off and invite you to live with a much bigger story into God's grace, His fullness, and His love. And so I want to, as I begin to close this morning, I want to challenge you with a question and then a challenge. And the question is this, that our hearts are changed by what we do, by what we pursue, and by what we surround ourselves with, and by who we surround ourselves with, and the voices that shape our heart. And so who are those voices? Who are those people? What are those things that we are consumed with? I invite you to just think about that for a second. And then I want to challenge you with these challenges, these three challenges. I want us to allow God's voice to be the loudest voice in our heart and our mind this Christmas season. First, I want to say, my first challenge is, may we begin our day with 5 minutes, and maybe more, but let's just start with 5 minutes, to meditate and pray over a verse of Scripture. And if you don't know where to begin, I invite you to maybe just start with this verse from Matthew 1:21. It says this, "She will give birth to a son," that's speaking of Mary, "and you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful verse. If we just took that every morning and just began to dwell on the different pieces of that, of maybe what does it mean for God to be with us? If we started every day and just began to saturate that simple, small truth that God is with us. That first Christmas, that was the gift. And then and Easter was the gift of salvation. And that is God's story that he wants to give us. And so every day, just start with 5 minutes of meditating on that verse. And then second, at the end of every day, take 5 minutes to reflect and ask God, God, where did I receive your grace today? God, where were you present in my day? What are the things that I am grateful for? Maybe it was a person who met you in a real and a practical way. Maybe it was a circumstance, it's just a little gift or a card or something that just, you just felt like, wow, God, that was so special to me. That was so meaningful to me. That person had no idea how much that meant to me. And we just thank God. God, thank you. Or maybe it was just a moment where you sensed God's presence with you. So at the end of every day, I'm just asking you to be grateful, to thank God for those moments of his gifts, his grace of people or presence, or of just his presence with us. Take those 5 minutes to just be with God. And it's powerful when we remember God's presence, how that begins to shape us. So the three things are, first, take those few minutes at the beginning of the day to reflect on a verse. Second, at the end of the day, take a minute for gratitude. And then the third thing is just ask a simple question. God, what is one thing that you're asking me to do tomorrow? You know, it could be as simple as an attitude change, or it could be simply releasing a hurt or something that happened to you. God, I want to live with open hands. What is that thing that you want to release to God? It could be anything. It really could be anything. You know, what it means to be a Christian simply means that we hear and respond to the voice of God. It's just that simple obedience, hearing God's voice and responding to that. And so I want to challenge you to do these three simple things. Start off your day with Christ, end your day with being thankful, and then thirdly, just ask him, God, what's one thing that I can do tomorrow to live a more generous, full life? You know, I started off with the story of the Grinch, and I kind of want to come back to that as we close. You know, I believe God's story changes everything. And one of the things that I love about the Grinch's story is that at the end it says his heart grew 3 sizes that day. The transformation is possible. And at first it was painful for him because he was like, ouch, I have feelings. There he was having feelings. But there's something I also want us to notice. Notice at the beginning it says his heart was 2 sizes too small. And that then his heart grew 3 sizes. You see, God's grace doesn't just bring us back to where we were. No, that's mercy. God's grace takes us somewhere more. You know, humanism says if we were just better humans, the world would be a better place. And I think that's kind of sort of true. I mean, I'd like for people to be better. But that's not the Christian story. No, the Christian story isn't about just making us better humans. The Christian story is about God's grace that expands our hearts, that we get to live into something so much bigger than we could have ever been on our own. I'm so glad I'm not just a better version of Ryan, that God forever transformed me and set me free by his grace and his goodness that came in a baby born in a manger. That's the story of grace. That's the story of Christmas, that we can become more than we ever were before. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us, that God wants to expand our hearts and give us a God-sized heart, for those that I love that are near and dear to me, a God-sized heart for our world, a God-sized heart for our church. And I don't know what it is that you are facing this Christmas, all of those heavy things, but I believe that God wants to give you a heart that is 3 sizes bigger, more grace, more than you could ever ask or imagine, the Bible says. That is his heart for us. If we will just come to him and say, Jesus, will you take my little, instead of white knuckling it, if I give it to you, could you expand my heart? Could you make it bigger? Could you heal me and set me free? We're never gonna be perfect, and that's okay. But God takes our little and makes it much. He expands it and he sends us forth. And that's what I love about Solid Ground, is we are a group of just broken people who are coming before God and saying, God, here, I've messed up. Will you make me something so much bigger than me? And by God's grace, that's exactly what Solid Ground is. That by our generosity, we get to be a part of something so much bigger. And we get to love Rancho Cucamonga and around the world. We get to be a part of God's grace in our world. Amen? And so I don't know where you are this Christmas, but I pray that you would be able to receive, maybe for the first time, the gift of God's grace at Christmas. Or maybe it's just anew, because 2020 has been hard. And you're saying, God, give me something more this Christmas. May it be beautiful, even though maybe I can't be with my family the way I would like to be. But would you give me something so much more that my heart would be more full than I could ever imagine? That's my prayer for each of us. So as we come to a time of closing in prayer, I invite you to just, maybe as an act of surrender, you open your hearts and say, God, would you imagine your heart there? And you say, God, could you do something with this? And so as we pray, I invite you to just lift your hearts up to God. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you for coming in the gift of Jesus in a manger, something so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, would you expand my heart? I release it and surrender it to you. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would help me to see people as you see people. God, I pray that you would help me to see me as you see me. And God, that you would help me to love people as you see love people. And only the way that you can. God, that you would give me a God-sized love for our world. God, our world is experiencing so much hate, injustice, brokenness, addiction, and pain. And Lord God, I just pray that you would break in those places where our hearts are two sizes too small. Lord, would you expand it? And would you heal us and set us free this Christmas to love and worship you? We pray all of this in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I invite you to just press the prayer button and say, I would like to pray with someone. I would actually like to talk with someone where I can talk about that experience and pray together. And if there's something else that you'd like to pray about, we would love for you to pray. Our team would love to support you and know about what God is doing in your life. But for the rest of us, I just want to say thank you so much for entrusting God to move in your life this week. May you go and be blessed. And may you, like the Grinch, be transformed to live forever in the new joy of God's grace at Christmas. Be blessed.